Mochteram Bas Jovad. Rapport Schleima. Okay, we're in the middle of the Mishnah. We're not going to start. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 lines down. No, in Chagiga. No, earlier. No, later. I'm sorry. Later. Okay, here Yud Ches Amid Bet. It may be page 36.
18B2 in this book.
18B2 in your book, correct. Okay. 36 in these books. In Chagiga. Yitchet Amid Beis, right. 9 lines into the Mishnah. Okay, we're not going to start the Mishnah again, but we learned last time there are different levels of Tumah. You know, there's Avi Avesa Tumah, Avet Tumah Rishon, the Tumah, and so on. Then there's also differences between Chulin goes up to Sheni, Truma goes up to Shlishi, Hegdish goes up to Revi, and Chatas goes up to Chamishi. In the how far down it could become Tomei. Then the Mishnah, the last thing we learned is that when you have Tvila, if you table for a lesser Tuma, it's not good for a stricter Tuma, because you need Kavana for the stricter Tuma. So if somebody tables for Chulin, even though they go to the mikveh, it's the same type of immersion like you would for truma. But if you only table for chulin, it's not good for truma. If you table only for truma, it's not good for kodesh. If you table for kodesh, it's good for truma and chulin. That was the last thing that we learned in the Mishnah. Now,
is this thing, if you don't table for this, it's your kavana?
Kavana.
Just kavana.
It's the same tvila.
Same water, same everything.
You gonna be here tomorrow morning?
Yeah, okay.
Same water, same mikveh, same everything.
The only difference is, and this is rabbinic, because min ha-Torah, like we learned last time, you fall into water, somebody takes and throws you into the water,
then you did it. Yeah.
you're tahar. The Chachamim came along and made all these stages, and the Chachamim said, your kavanah for a lesser level is not going to be good enough for a stronger level of tumah. Okay, but the opposite is good. Now it says, Big de am ha'aretz, the garments of an am ha'aretz is midras leprushim. It's considered tamei through the tumah called midras. Midras literally means treading, but for instance, there's a din in the Torah as follows. You have people that are, we learned, discussed last time, there are people that are tamei. Zav, nida, zava, different people, the bodily liquids become emitted from the body, so they become tamei. The Torah says, if somebody didn't even touch something, they sat on something, or they put their weight on something, they didn't even sit on it, they put their weight on it, it becomes what's called midras of tumah. Okay? Because they treaded upon it by putting their weight. So therefore, the Torah says, if a Zav, let's say, leans on this table or garments, the garments become an Av HaTumah, equal to what the Zav is. Because the Pasuk says, right afterwards, if a person touches those garments, they have to go to the mikvah. And we learned a person can only become Tamei from Av HaTumah. A person can only become Tamei from an Av HaTumah. So if the Zav leaned on the garments, put weight on the guy, not even with their hand, they just sat on it or put their weight on it. So then the din is, it becomes an avatuma, that if a Jew touches it, they become tummy. So now, in the olden times, it was as follows. The perushim is a person that eats chulin only when they're tahar. Only when they're tahar is when they eat chulin. That means, even though according to halacha, even if you're tummy, you could eat chulin. Chulin is everyday food. A tummy dick person could eat chulin. But there were prushim. Prushim means like the fanatics, the separated from the world. They only ate chulin in the state of purity. Now, based on that, an amma'aretz is an illiterate. They are not so careful in the laws of purity and impurity. Not only are they not so careful in the laws of impurity and impurity, even if they tell you that they're pure, you're not allowed to believe them, because they lie. So the Mishnah says a very simple din. A beged am ha'aretz, the garment of an am ha'aretz, even if the am ha'aretz says that it's tahor, midras the prushim, it's tamei as far as the parush who only eats chulin when he's pure. In other words, if he touched those garments, he can't eat chulin. That's pure. Because for him, it's not reliable. The same thing, bigdei perushin, the garment of a parush, who only eats chulin in purity, but midras is still tamei for a guy who wants to eat truma. And again, truma is holier than chulin. So what's pure for chulin is not necessarily pure for truma. And if it's pure for truma, it does not necessarily mean it's pure for hegdish. And if it's pure for hegdish, it doesn't necessarily mean it's pure for chatas. And again, these are all stages of tumah. So an amaretz is not even believed that his garments are pure for a guy, a potash, that wants to eat chulin in purity. The potash's garments are not good enough for a guy that wants to eat truma in purity. A guy that eats truma in purity, his garments are not pure enough for a guy that wants to eat hegdish. That's what the Mishnah is saying. Big day eichli truma, the garments of a person who eats truma in purity, midras is still tamei for those that eat kodesh. Big day kodesh, the garment of one who is careful with kodesh to eat it only with purity, because that's the halacha. Nevertheless, midras lachatas is tamei for those people that carry the water of the parah aduma. So again, it's the same concept. A lesser level is not good enough for a stronger level. You have tefillah in a lesser level, it's not good enough for a holier level. You have garments which are pure for a lower level, are not pure for a higher level. That's what the Mishnah says. And the Mishnah concludes.
But that's all just for Purushim, that last?
No.
That's for everybody?
Even the garments of a Parush, who only eat chulim when they're pure, so Lucheda's garments are pure. For a guy that eats truma, he has to table those garments in the mikveh. See, it's not like today.
But it's not just for a potash who eats truma. It's for
any kohen that eats truma.
Okay.
In other words, in the olden times, people used to put their clothing into the mikveh. When the Torah says, V'rachatz begodav b'mayim, you have to wash your clothing in the water. It doesn't mean in the washing machine. It means in a mikveh. V'tamei ad ha'erev. You have in this parsha chukas, yichab is begodav, v'tamei ad ha'erev. V'rachatz is begodav b'mayim. What does it mean? For instance, a man who was a zav, who was wearing garments, those garments became tamei. So he has to take the garments and put them into the mikveh. Just like a person goes to the mikveh, they had to go, the garments had to go to the mikveh to become pure. So the Mishnah is teaching us, just because they're pure for truma, does not mean they're pure for hegdish. You have to put them into the mikveh. If they're pure for hegdish, they're not pure for chatas. Because if it's pure for a lesser level, it doesn't necessarily mean it's pure for a holier level. And the Mishnah says, and the Mishnah proves an example for this. Yaisi ben Yezer, who's one of the earlier Tanas mentioned in Pirkei Avos, haya chassid shebekuhuna. He was the biggest chassid of all the Kohanim. That means you can imagine how pure he was, and he made sure that everything was pure. Nevertheless, v'haisi mitapchai, his handkerchief, his cloth napkin, was midras l'kaidish, was for those that ate kaidish. It was considered tamei. Even though he was the super duper holy kayan, very pure kayan, nevertheless his cloth napkin that he wiped his mouth with was tamei, that somebody that wanted to eat a korban had to put that garment into the mikveh. I had a question, but for truma it was pure. It doesn't matter. For hegdish, you needed to put it into the mikveh again. And then the Mishnah gives another case. Yechanan ben Gudgada, Yechanan ben Gudgada, whatever his name was, haya echa taris ha-kedish kol yamav. He would eat all food like it was Hegdish. The Me'even is peanut butter and jelly sandwich. He ate with the same level of purity as if it would be a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. So you can imagine how pure he was. Nevertheless, for the chatas water, it was considered tameh that they would have to put it again into the mikveh. So the Mishnah is illustrating that no matter how careful you are, but for the next stage of that next holier stage, you have to retable it again in the mikveh. Okay, because that's the levels of purity. So now, that's the end of the Mishnah. Now the Gemara is going back to the opening statement of the Mishnah. The opening statement of the Mishnah was, Neitam yodayim lechulen and lemaiser. If you want to eat chulen, you have to wash your hands, like for bread. You want to eat maiser sheni, you have to wash your hands. You want to eat truma, hegdish, you have to wash your hands. So the Gemara asks, chulen or maiser, miboy netilas yodayim? For chulen, for everyday food, and maiser sheni, there's no holiness to it. Do you have to wash your hands? Our Mishnah says you have to wash your hands. So the Gemara says, you have to wash your hands. But Amin, I'll ask
you. Bread or no bread? It's a pudding.
Well, right now, the Gemara is going to differentiate in the Gemara's answer. Right now, there's no difference, bread or no bread. The Mishnah says it then. You want to eat chulin? You have to wash your hands. You want to eat maaser sheni? You have to wash your hands. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? But Amin, I'll ask you a question. It says, Hatruma vabikurim. This is the law of Truma and Bikurim. Truma and Bikurim are only allowed to be eaten by a Kohen. Okay, and he has to be pure. So it says, what happens? Chayav Maleha Misa, if a Yisrael or a Levi eat Truma, they get killed by God. V'chaymesh, plus if they ate it accidentally, they have to pay an additional fifth. That means if you ate, by the way, a fifth over here means a quarter, not a fifth. If you ate $20 worth of a Kohen's Truma by mistake, a Kohen's Truma, $20 worth, you have to pay him $25. That's for unintentional. If you ate it intentionally and you're not a Kohen, then you get killed. V'asa l'zadim, it's forbidden for a zod, meaning a person who's not a kohen, to eat them. They nichse kohen, but they belong to a kohen, meaning they're not God's property; they're his financial property. The elin be'echad omeya, and they become bottle in 1 in 101.
This would apply if the temple was rebuilt tomorrow.
No, even today.
Huh?
Today you're not allowed to eat truma. That's why they throw it out today, because everybody's tummy. So Kain can't eat truma, you throw it out.
Let's say the temple was built tomorrow.
Yeah.
Would this affect, like, kill these people?
Yeah, man, all this is going to go back to the old laws. All of us who are completely ignorant in these type of laws because they're not practical today, mm-hmm. We're going to have to sit down and learn and learn and learn and learn until we become expert in all these laws. In the days of Yechon and Kain Gadol, they sent out and they found that every kid in Eretz Yisrael was an expert in all the laws of Tum and Tara. Because they had to know it. It was very practical. And he says another thing. Normally, treif in kosher becomes nullified 1 in 60. Milk and meat is 1 in 60. What happens if truma got mixed up in non-truma? Over there you need 101 times the amount to nullify it. But it becomes bottle in 101, not in 60. Okay, so now it says, and in addition to all that, before you eat truma or bikurim, you have to wash your hands. The head of shemesh, and not only that, if you went to the mikveh because you were tameh, before you're allowed to eat truma, it had to wait until the end of the day, until nightfall. That means if a guy was tamei, he went to the mikveh in the morning, he was still tamei, until evening. He couldn't eat truma, he couldn't eat bikurim, even though he went to the mikveh. The Torah says, v'tamei ad ha'erif. You're still tamei until the evening. Hare'elo b'truma bikurim, these laws, the Mishnah says, all these laws we just said, that if you eat it intentionally, you get killed. If you eat it accidentally, you have to pay an additional fifth. That a Yisrael or a Levi is not allowed to eat it. And you have to wash your hands. That is only by Truman Bikurim. Masha Enkin B'Maiser. But Maiser Sheni, these laws don't apply. The Kol Shekin Chulin. And for sure Chulin, it doesn't apply. What does this Mishnah say? As far as we're concerned, Truman Bikurim, you have to wash your hands before you eat it. And Chulin, you don't have to. So the Gemara's question is, how could our Mishnah say you have to wash your hands for Chulin and Maaser when this Braisa explicitly says you don't have to wash your hands only for Terum and Bikurim? And it says clearly, for Maaser, Sheni, and Chulin, you don't have to wash your hands before you eat it. So the Gemara says, Kasha Maaser a Maaser, it's a question for Maaser a Maaser, and it's a question Chulin and Chulin. Because our Mishnah says you have to wash your hands for Chulin and Maaser. And that Mishnah says you don't have to wash for Chulin and Maaser. So Chulin is a problem and Maaser is a problem. So the Gemara says as follows. Bishleim Maaser a Maaser leikasha. Maaser a Maaser is not a question. You know why? This is two opinions. One Mishnah is Rav Meir, one Mishnah is the Chacham. What does it mean? Harav Meir, Harav Banan. One Mishnah goes according to Rav Meir, and one Mishnah goes according to the Chachamim. So you can't ask a contradiction because it's two different opinions. What are the two opinions? The Tran, we learned in the Mishnah, it says the following. Kol hatoin bilas bias mayim midivrei seifrim, anything which becomes tamei midrabanan, that means anytime you have to only go to the mikveh, rabbinically, because minatayra you're not impure. The Chachamim said you became impure, and you have to go to the mikveh. Mitames hakedish, can make hegdish tamei, upeisel es hatruma, and it invalidates truma. I'll explain this whole thing in a second. Umota lechulin ha'maisa, but chulin ha'maisa cannot become tamei. Meaning, anything that the Chachamim said, your tamei can invalidate truma, pasul truma, and it can be metame hegdish. This means as follows. It's another concept in tuma, but it's a very simple concept. We learned before, chulin only goes to sheni. Beyond sheni, chulin doesn't go. Okay? So what happens if a Rishon touches Chulin? The Chulin become Tamei. Right? Because a Rishon touches it. But the Chulin that became Tamei cannot make other Chulin Tamei. Because it only stops at Sheni. Right? So that's called Pasul. If it would make the Chulin Tamei enough that the Chulin can make something else Tamei, then you use the word Mitame. For instance, if an av atuma touches chulin, the chulin doesn't only become pasul, it becomes tamei. Because not only does it become itself tamei, it can make something else tamei. Because it becomes a rishon, and then you can make it a step later to a sheni. So therefore, by chulin he uses the word pasul, the chulin becomes tamei. But for hegdish, it can make a third thing tamei. So he says, anything that's midraban and tamei, can make tamei hegdish, pasul truma, but mota lechulin olamaisa divrei Rav Meir. So Rav Meir says that what's the difference? That maiser is like chulin. That means for maiser, you don't have to wash your hands. But chachamim emrim, By Maaser, it also makes a tamei. So what do you see from there? The Chachamim hold, Maaser is like Truma. And therefore, just like for Truma, you have to wash your hands. You have to wash your hands for Maaser. That's what our Mishnah says. The Mishnah over there that says for Maisa you do not have to wash your hands. That's according to Rav Meir. Because Rav Meir holds Maisa, you don't have to wash your hands. So that contradiction between Maisir and Maisir is answered. But the Gemara asks, Elochulin, Achulin, Kasha. But it's a question from Chulin unto Chulin. Because our Mishnah says, you have to wash your hands before you eat Chulin. And the other Mishnah says, you don't have to wash your hands for eating Chulin. So what is it? So the Gemara answers, there's a difference between Achila and the Gia. There's a difference between eating it and touching it. For touching it, you don't have to wash your hands. If you want to eat it, you have to wash your hands. So the Gemara answers a very simple answer. Our Mishnah says you have to wash your hands for chulin. You know why you have to wash your hands for chulin? Because if you want to eat it, you have to wash your hands. If you just want to touch it, you don't. So the Mishnah that says, for chulin you do not have to wash your hands, is speaking if you want to touch it, not if you want to eat it. So the Gemara answers the contradiction. Our Mishnah says you have to wash your hands because it's speaking you want to eat it. And for eating chulin, you do have to wash your hands. The Mishnah says you don't have to wash your hands is speaking about touching it. And for touching it, you don't have to.
Two separate things.
Just
like bread, if you want to eat, you don't have to wash your hands.
Correct. In fact, the Gemara is going to say that soon. And like you're saying, you touch bread, you don't have to wash your hands. If you want to eat bread, then you have to wash your hands. So the Gemara is differentiating a very simple, even though the Gemara is going to ask a question on it, but the Gemara is saying a very simple thing. Our Mishnah says you have to wash your hands, another Mishnah says you don't. So it's seemingly a contradiction. So the Gemara says not a problem. If you want to eat it, you have to wash your hands. You don't want to eat it, you just want to touch it, you don't have to wash it. And like you say, gave the good example of bread. You touch bread, you don't have to wash your hands. You want to eat it, you have to wash your hands. Right? Now, the contradiction we had before between Maiser and Maiser, the our Mishnah says you have to wash your hands for Maiser, and another Mishnah says you don't. So that the Gemara answers simply. Rav Meir says you don't, and the Chachamim say you do. So that Mishnah that says no is Rav Meir, and this Mishnah that says yes is the Chachamim. So again, all the problems are solved. But Maskala Rav Simi Bar Ashi is Rav Simi Shimi Bar Avdi ask a question. You can't say that that Mishnah of Rav Meir and the Chachamim is only speaking when you're touching it. Because the whole argument between the Chachamim and Rav Meir is only by eating Maiser. What do we answer? That the argument between Rav Meir and the Chachamim is speaking by touching. It can't be, because that their argument is only by eating. So how could you say there are difference of opinions by touching versus eating, when their argument is even by eating? So the Gemara says, "Avo benegia de ma'aser v'achila de chulin." But touching ma'aser and eating chulin, everybody says you don't have to wash your hands. So the question is, based on that, how can our Mishnah say for eating chulin you have to wash your hands, when the other Mishnah implies clearly that for eating chulin, you don't have to wash your hands? And you can't answer me speaking about touching, because the implication over there is even eating, you don't have to wash your hands. So the Gemara answers now Shimshon's answer. Both are speaking by eating. Our Mishnah and the other Mishnah speaking by eating. The question is, why here? Our Mishnah says you have to wash your hands, and the Mishnah over there says you don't. Answer is very simple. One's bread and one's other foods. You want to eat bread, you have to wash your hands. You want to eat potatoes, you don't have to wash your hands. So Gemara says, Idi, Bachila, both are speaking by eating. But the Kashya is still not a problem. Why? Kam Bachila, Denama, one is speaking when you eat bread. Kan, bachila de peyde, what is speak when you're eating produce? Fruits, produce. The Amir of Nachman, and the Gemara says even more. The Amir of Nachman, said, Kol aneitel yodav le peyres, whoever washes his hands before eating fruit, is haughtiness. Harezim migasi aruch. Because you're too frum. Don't be more frum than the Torah. That, no, that's what the first one.
It's not wet.
Well, if it's wet, it's a different story. Here it's speaking about dry. If you want to eat a dry fruit and go wash your hands, the Gemara says you're haughty. It's a bad thing to do. In other words, the Gemara answers like this. For chulin, for everyday food, you don't have to wash your hands. Unless if it's bread. For bread, even for chulin, you have to wash your hands. And that's the way, by the reason, this is our din. You want to go eat bread, yeah, you have to wash. Why do you have to wash? Why is bread different than fruits? Or cheese? Whatever. Why for bread, it's not holy, it's not shum, it's chulin, it's everyday stuff. Why do you have to wash your hands for bread? And our Gemara is saying over here, I mean, this is one of the Gemaras that discussed this, that there's a difference that the Chachamim instituted. It's one of the seven mitzvahs midrabanan, by the way. That's why you even make a bracha and a shekachanu b'mitzvahs of itzivanu, even though it's not a biblical mitzvah, because like we learned at the beginning of this Gemara, there's no such thing as biblical tumah only on part of the hand, a part of the body. Your whole body is tamei, or your whole body is not tamei. There's no such thing that your hands are tamei and the rest of your body is not tamei. It's only rabbinic. The Chachamim came along and made a takana. Some people say Shlomo HaMelech made it. That if you want to eat bread, not truma, not maaser, not any holiness, you push it, want to go take a bagel, you have to wash your hands for bread. You have to wash your hands. Why? So explain as follows. There's two reasons for this. No, the Gemara doesn't explain. I'm going to explain outside. Because bread is a staple in food, lechem levav enish yisod, bread fills the heart of a person, David HaMelech says in Tillim. In fact, in Chumash, there's an interesting pasuk. When the Shvatim came, finally the brothers came down to Yosef with Binyamin, Yosef said to his workers, take them over there, kisham yechlu lechem. Over there they're going to eat bread. So Rashi in Vayeshev says, they're only going to eat bread. He wasn't going to serve them other foods. So Rashi says a meal is called bread. Okay, so therefore, when you eat a meal, bread, that's like a su'udah. A su'udah is bread. And for a Jew to be holy, you go to a meal. It's a mizbeach. The Chacham say, wash your hands. But there's the more important reason, so to speak, is a safeguard for Kohanim. We learned already that the Kohanim, before they eat Truma, have to wash their hands. Like we learned, Noitan Yadayim L'Truma. Why? Because a Chacham made your hands tamei. Why? Because hands are very active. It's hard to control what we touch. A whole day, it's hard to control what we touch. So the Chachamim said, hands are tamei. Therefore, if you want to eat Truma, you must wash your hands. So therefore, a Kohen eats Truma, has to wash his hands. So, what did the Chachamim do? To get the Kohanim used to eating truma, bread, to wash their hands, they said, everybody wash your hands. That the Kohanim shouldn't come to eat truma without washing their hands.
Is truma only bread? Truma could be meat, right? From is truma meat or bread or either way?
That says, the reason is, the pus can bring down, because bread is the staple, and therefore the takana was only on bread. Therefore it was only on bread. But, a guy can't come along today and say, well, today the Kohanim don't eat truma, they're all tummy anyway, so what do we have to wash for bread for?
No, but I'm saying, but tomorrow, because we will have truma and everything, can I eat truma without bread, without washing?
Yeah. No, 1 second. No, the Kohanim B'Pashas would have to wash their hands for everything. Anytime they eat truma. Any truma. What?
Is that Midoraita? Does the Kohanim have to wash their hands?
No.
It's not even the Rabbanon.
Right.
So,
you mean it's Gzeira L'Gzeira?
Yeah.
It's not Gzeira L'Gzeira. It's not a decree on a decree. The Chachamim said, we want the Kohanim to wash their hands. How are we going to get every Kohanim to wash their hands? By making everybody wash their hands.
Why should they wash their hands in the first place?
Because Yodai Maskoni is him. The Chachamim established. Because the hands are so occupied. We don't want Kohanim touching something that's going to make Truma another level of Tuma. You know, keeps going at another level, because Truma goes to Revi. I mean, to Shlishi.
Yeah, but by washing your hand, you take away Tuma from your hand?
Yeah.
Not by the mikveh?
Oh, you could put your hand in the mikveh too.
Yeah, but that's the only way, with the mikveh. How could washing your hand with the...
Because it's only Tumah Midrabanan. The Chacham said, by doing washing your hands in this particular way, it's going to remove the Tumah that we put on the hands.
How did you derive?
One second, by the way, this is only if the Kohen was not Tumah.
I know.
If a Kohen was Tumah, he had to go to the mikveh.
Right.
This is only the Kohen knows he wasn't Tumah, but because the hands keep moving around, we don't know it. The Chacham said, you know what, let's make sure it's good.
I heard that some Sephardim, they, you know, the same chal that they would make hamotzila on Shabbos, they would say mizamas during the week on the same piece of bread. Is there a minhag like this?
That's
or
matzah.
Am I hearing about
matzah? Not bread, matzah.
Matzah that
during mizamas. The year. Matzah during the year as opposed to Pesach, right?
Oh, but even on Shabbos they would wash.
Uh-huh. On Shabbos they would wash for matzah.
And during the week they would make mizamas. Yeah.
This doesn't apply for bread, though.
No.
How did you?
That's because matzah is thin. It's not.
I never got that concept.
Huh?
I never got that concept.
What do you mean? Never got it?
Why? Sometimes you wash something.
Because it doesn't have the. No, because Shabbos gives it credence and prominence that it classifies it as a meal. You have many times in the Gemara, there's a concept called mitzvah se'achshavei. The fact that it's a mitzvah gives it a certain credence and prominence that it otherwise would not have. So because eating a meal on Shabbos is a mitzvah, that elevates mezainis level to a hametzi level. But that would only be even egg matzah, by the way. Svardim, like this year, Pesach fell out on Shabbos, a lot of Sfardim would eat egg matzah and make hametzi on it. Because of the prominence of Shabbos. Which you find in Allah, a concept that a mitzvah can render something more important than it is otherwise.
So you can never say...
Right.
You can never
not egg matzah. Egg matzah is flour and juice.
What bracha do you make on egg matzah?
But no. See, you have to be careful what I'm saying over here. You can go to the store and buy egg and onion matzah, and you read the ingredients as flour and water. I'm talking about egg matzah, which is made from flour and juice. Well, for older, sick people. But that is called mezainis. What bracha do you make on a Danish?
Yeah,
why?
Because it's
sweet. Why do you make a meitzah on a Danish?
Because it's not just water and flour. It's more than water and flour.
Juice.
It's different than water and flour.
No, because there's more juice than water.
What do you mean juice?
Yeah.
You put juice in a Danish?
Well,
the dough is made not from flour and water. If the Danish is made flour and water, you got to wash and make a meitzah on it.
Yeah.
Flour and water baked. What's the difference?
How do they make Danishes?
Danishes are made with fruit juice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Danishes?
Okay.
There are times the bakeries here made, I don't know all the bakers, some bakeries were making croissants, the mezainis, and then it became a big shal in halacha, and they made them make it with mamish water that it should be hametzi. A lot of bakeries, the croissants that they make are not mezainis, they're hametzi. Okay, you know what? Flour and water baked is ametzi. Flour and water cooked is mezainis. Got it? Flour and juice baked is a machlekes in halacha. It's called pasta babi kisnin. Another opinion says pasta babi kisnin is not flour and juice. The Gemara says pasta, the Mishnah in Brachas, pasta babi kisnin, whatever that means. Pas haba bekisnin is mezainis, unless if you kaveya sa'uda. If you establish a meal and pas haba bekisnin, then it becomes hamaitzi. But otherwise, pas haba bekisnin is mezainis. That's what the Mishnah says. Now, what does pas haba bekisnin mean? So if it's Gemara, you can expect an argument, right? Okay. In Halacha, there's two opinions what pas haba bekisnin is. One opinion, Halacha says, pasa babi kisnin is flour and juice. Flour and juice, so therefore what's the din? It's mezainis. Unless if you kaveya su'uda, then it becomes hametzi. And I'll discuss what kaveya su'uda means. Okay? If you make it into an established meal, and you get full, and you eat X amount, then even though it's flour and juice, it becomes hametzi. That's pasa babi kisnin. Another opinion in Shulchan Aruch says, no. Pasa babi kisnim is not that. That bread and flour and juice is ametzi. Clear. Ametzi. What's pasa babi kisnim? Kisnim, they say, comes from the word kiss. If you take a flour, yeah, and you make a filling inside it, a fruit, so even though it's made with flour and water, but it's not made as bread, it's made as a delicacy, so that's mezainis. That's what pasa babi kisnin means.
Did you say pizza's mezainis?
No, one second. So the halacha is, the halacha in Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that pasa babi kisnin is bread and juice. Even though it says, bal nefesh yachmir, unless it's belila raka, means a pourable dough, but if it's a hard dough, la halacha, pasa babi kisnin, means flour and juice, you make mezainis. If you make a meal out of it, then it's hametzi. Sometimes you have to wash and bench on this thing itself. Sometimes you have to wash and bench on other bread, depending how much of it you ate. Okay. Now, one thing I have to quote. What? Right. Now, by the way, when you say flour and juice, there's another shaila. What do you do with concentrate? Because, let's give you an example. You have a frozen orange juice, yeah? Or apple juice. So you have to take out the, then you add three things of water. That's what the container says, right? So now you have a mixture of this concentrated juice with water. Is that whole concoction now juice, or is it three quarters water and a quarter juice? Because in halacha it says, what happens if you have water and juice? So whatever the majority of the liquid is, that's what it is. That means if you're making a dough and you have 5 ounces of water and 6 ounces of juice, you have 11 ounces of liquid, let's say. By the way, juice includes eggs and margarine and oil. Okay, those are all liquids. But what happens if you have 5 ounces of water and 6 ounces of juice? So then it's mezainis. If you have 6 ounces of water and 5 ounces of juice, the majority is water, tamaytzi. Okay, so now halacha says, but if it's from concentrate where you're adding water back to it, so most opinions say that it has it in a water, not juice. So if you squeeze an orange or you buy like a Tropicana Pure Premium that's not from concentrate, or you buy apple juice that says not from concentrate, so that's juice. But if you buy from concentrate, that means the store mixed it. That's what from concentrate means, right? So then it has it in a water, not... So now come back to the pizza. Even though in LA there is no such pizza. But if you go to New York, they make pizza It says on it, Mezainis. You see many times, a box of frozen pizza, it says, the bracha is Mezainis. Why? Because they make the dough with flour and juice. So if it's flour and juice, so then it's Mezainis. The problem with that is, what happens if you eat three slices of pizza for dinner, and you get full, then you kaveya su'uda. If you kaveya su'uda, then you gotta wash. And it's a meitzi.
If you eat it for lunch and you get full, it's also
kaveya. So if you have one slice of pizza snack, then it's mezainis. But if you're going out to dinner, and you're eating a pie of pizza, you can't make a mezainis on it. No, 1 second. The same thing they have in New York, they have Mezainis bread. You go to a bris, and Jews are always lazy. I wouldn't say they're rushed, because they're just lazy to wash and bench. So they serve at brisen Mezainis rolls. So people sit at a bris, and you pardon my expression, and they fress. And the bigger problem is, it's a Suda's mitzvah. So the Suda's mitzvah makes it into a su'uda. It makes it into a su'uda. Right? So then, there is no halachic heter in the world to make a mezainis on those rolls. Why don't the rabbanim in New York stop it? They say we really should, but people are doing it, they're not going to listen to us anyway. But in LA, it stopped. There isn't. Because you're not allowed to. If you kavei a suda, Shulchan Aruch says clearly, pass a bobi kisnin, you have to wash and bench on it. Then they might have to go wash again and make a meitzi possibly.
How many ounces of kavei a suda?
So there's sometimes 4 bayim, which is 8 ounces. So from 4 ounces to 12 ounces. If you're full on it, then you have to wash and bench on it. It's not a lot. 4 to 8 ounces, it's not a lot.
Because I did 8 ounces, no?
Right. So, again, there's all the measurements in halacha. If you're full from it itself, then sometimes, if it's like from 4 ounces to 6 to 8 ounces, I think 4 to 6, whatever, I don't remember all the from 6 bayim, no, from 4 bayim to 6 bayim, which is 8 to 12 ounces, sometimes you have to wash another bread and make a meitzi. But then you bench anyway. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if it's over 12 ounces, then you have to wash and bench on the thing itself. Yeah. So, again, if you're full, if you're not full, there's a lot of different dinim of amounts in full. And we got way off in the topics. But anyway, coming back over here, so the Chachamim instituted the concept that you have to wash in bread. Either because to bring a holiness to the Su'uda, and bread is a Su'uda, or the Chachamim wanted to get Kainim to make sure to wash for bread, for Chulin, for Truma. So therefore, what did they do? They said, everybody got to wash whenever you eat bread. What?
Yeah,
that's really listened to.
I do.
Because you don't live there, that's what you do. Right.
They have
that for a reason. The showbread? It didn't have anything to do with that. It's partially they wanted the Kayanim. They wanted the Kayanim to wash properly for Truma, even though their bodies were not Tomei, but the Chacham said the hands for Truma are Tomei. And because, if everybody washes, then the Kayanim will wash also. Like this, the Kayanim, nobody watch, why should I? So that's the reason why we wash for bread.
Is that the same reason we wash our hand before we touch everything that's
wet? Yeah.
Same reason?
Same concept. Because then it becomes susceptible to transmit tumah. nowadays. Nowadays also to a certain extent. But nowadays not what? Yeah, well, we're all tummy anyway, but because David Shibtibuli B'mashka, you need Netilas Yadayim for the same reasons of that we're learning here, because of the concept of Tumah.
That was wet. I mean, wetness makes it more...
more susceptible to become tummy.
So pickles, supposedly, are not supposedly given to us.
Unless you eat it with a fork.
Let's say it's wet and you have to wash.
You could dry it, then you don't have to wash.
Right, but otherwise if it's wet, let's say if it's cherries, and the cherries are wet, you have to wash.
You should.
Yes. But if you're washing it, you're not going to eat it, and you're going to be touching it. Does that...
No, that's what we learned in the Gemara, touching bread, you have to wash.
Okay, I see. So touching,
and it's only for eating. That's what the Gemara answered over here. Touching bread, you don't have to wash. The Mishnah that says you don't have to wash for bread is speaking about touching. Our Mishnah says you have to wash for bread is speaking about the eating. No, that's not going to help. It says in Shulchan Aruch, the fork or the spoon or the toothpick only helps with those things that you normally eat with a fork. Nobody eats a cherry. What was the last time you saw a guy eat a cherry with a fork? Or a toothpick. So that wouldn't help. But pickles, people don't eat with their hands. People eat it pickle with their fork.
That's wet food on the outside. Like cherries are
great. Inside doesn't matter.
Inside, like the watermelon or cantaloupe.
No.
Some juice doesn't matter.
That's okay, there's a...